Okay, today's shiur is, this week's shiur is being sponsored by the Block family, L'zeichon Nishmas Yoshi's grandfather, Harav Moshe Yosef ben Harav Avram Chaim, Zichron Levracha, the Nesham Shem and Aliyah from the Zichus of Our Learning. I hope everyone enjoyed the donuts that Yoshi brought and made brachos, the Zichus and Aliyah for the Neshama of Yoshi's grandfather. Okay, this week we are learning Mesechta Sukkah Daf Yud Dalid. We left off right in the middle of an Inyan, so just to remind ourselves, just to give you the basic layout of the Daf, up until the Mishnah is the most challenging part of the Daf. From the Mishnah appears in the middle of Yud Dalid Amaleth. After the Mishnah, it gets a whole lot easier. That's the basic layout. Now, we discussed last time that there was a Machlokas Tanaim about the following. Well, let's start even a step before that. There is a din. In order for something to be kosher for Schach, it cannot be Mekabel Tumah. Anything that's Mekabel Tumah cannot be used for Schach. Now, what if you have stalks of grain that have the kernel still inside of them? How much of the stalk is considered to be not Mekabel Tumah? How much is considered to be, yes, Mekabel Tumah? So the part that we know for sure is Mekabel Tumah is which part? The actual kernel, right? The actual kernel that is food, because food is Mekabel Tumah. That part, there's no question, is Mekabel Tumah. Question is, what about the yados? What about the parts that are close to that area that can be used to help carry the grain from one place to another, that make for easy transportation from one place to another? Are the yados also considered to be Mekabel Tumah when the plan is to use these things for schach, or are the yados not Mekabel Tumah? So we had a machlokas about that, whether the yados are counted as part of the kosher schach, or they are not counted as part of the kosher schach. Nachon, that was the machlokas that we had. So we wanted to suggest, maybe that machlokas was about whether there is a concept of yados or not when it comes to grain that's cut for schach. So the Gemara said, no, maybe everyone really agrees that when you cut grain for schach, ain lo yados. There is no din of yados, meaning the only part that's Mekabel Tumah, the only part that cannot be used for schach, is the kernel itself. Everything else can be used for schach, really it should be. But what's the case where we have a machlokas, whether the yados can be used for schach or not, is kigon shekotzitz on the achila. We're about 5 lines from the bottom now, and you'd give them beis, we're going back to kigon shekotzitz on the achila v'nimlach alein l'sikuch. It's a case where you cut it for the sake of eating. Now, when you cut it for the sake of eating, everyone would agree generally that there would be a din of yados, because the yados come in handy, no pun intended, when you cut it for the sake of eating. Yes, I just earned my smicha. Rabbi jokes, get it? Okay, got it. Okay, when you cut it for the sake of eating, everyone would agree that there is a din of yados. And when you cut it for the sake of schach, everyone would agree there's no din of yados. Over here, what you did was you initially cut it for the sake of eating, and then v'nimlach alein l'sikuch, and then you changed your mind and you decided instead to use it as schach. So does that take away the din of yados? Or, I'm sorry, does that take away the din of yados, the fact that you changed your mind, even though initially it did have a din of yados because you initially cut it for eating? Or does it not take away the din of yados? That is the issue. Ikotz on the achila, ask the Gemara, wait a second, if you initially cut it for eating, maitai mayu dirabanan, then what would be the logic? What would be the logic of the Rabbanan? What did the Rabbanan say? So if you remember, the Rabbanan, again, we're just trying to go back to last week, we had the Rabbanan had held that in Psolos Mubal Ochlin that there's no din of yados. So if you initially cut it for eating, why wouldn't there be a din of yados? And if you're going to say, well, maybe there's no din of yados because as soon as you changed your mind and decided to use it for schach, the din of yados went away. Does that make the din of yados go away? Does your machshava suffice? Your thought process, you deciding to use it for schach, does that take away a status of tumah? Meaning when you initially cut it for eating, no, there was or was not a din of yados when you cut it for eating. There was a din of yados when you cut it for eating. The machlokas, what we're suggesting now is that according to the Rabbanan, as soon as you change your mind and decide that you want to use this stuff for schach, that's enough to take away tumah that exists. It's enough to take away a status of Kabbalah's tumah that already exists. So the Gemara is going to ask, is machshava ever enough to take away a status of Kabbalah's Tumah, to make something that would have been Mekabal Tumah now no longer Mekabal Tumah? That is the question the Gemara says. Umi batale machshava bahachi. Is that enough to be mvatal machshava vatnan? We have a Mishnah. Kol hakelim yardin l'day tumah machshava. In order to make something tameh, in order to make something able to be Mekabal Tumah, all you need is machshava. That means as follows. Any kli that's a complete kli can be Mekabal Tumah. If it's not yet complete, it's only halfway made, it's not Mekabel Tumah. So take this chair, for instance. Let's say they were making this chair, and they have not yet attached the back of this chair, right? They only made the bottom part with the legs. They haven't yet made the back of the chair. Is that a kli yet? Is it a complete kli? So it really depends. If the plan is to make a chair with a back and everything, then it's not a complete kli before they put the back on the chair. But if the plan is to make a bar stool, well, it would be a little low for a bar stool, but if the plan was just to make a little stool, a step stool, let's say, and not to make a complete chair, well, then it's done even without the back. You don't need a back for a stool, and that would be a complete kli. What if I start building it thinking I'm going to make a chair? And then, when I'm at the stool stage, when I have not yet added the back to the chair, where it should not yet be Mekabel Tumah because it's not complete yet, I then decide, I change my mind, and I say, you know what? I'm just going to leave it like this. I'm going to use it as a stool instead of as a chair. No, what's the din? So if I just decide at that point, I'm going to use it as a stool instead of a chair, now it becomes a complete kli. Now I've completed it. I finished it. And if I've completed it, no, it's Mekabel Tumah. So that's all I need. All I need is machshava. I don't need to do anything. It's already at the stage where it's a perfectly functional stool. All I need to do is have a machshava that I'm going to use it as a stool. And mela, what happens? It's now becomes a stool's mekabel tumah. So machshava is enough in order to bring it into the status of tumah. However, ve'ein olin mitumasan ela b'shinu maisa. To take it out of the status of tumah, I need to do something to it. Let's say I had a stool already. And then I decide, you know what? I want to make it into a chair. That does not take away its tumah. I need to do something to it to show that it's not a kli in order to take away its status. I would have to break it or something in order to take away its status. What do you see? That ma'isa motzi mi'an ma'isa mi'an machshava. An action is enough to undo a previous action or to undo a previous thought. Machshava eina motzi lo mi'an ma'isa v'lo mi'an machshava. But a thought is not enough to undo a previous action nor to undo a previous thought. Just thinking alone is not enough to take tumah away. And yet, what did we say by the schach? You cut it for the sake of achila, so it now is mekabel tumah. The others are mekabel tumah. And then what did you do? You changed your mind. Machshava. Why should that make a difference that you had a machshava? Changing your mind doesn't do anything. So v'chi tema, maybe you're going to say, no, hani mili kelim de chashivi. Maybe that's only when it comes to kelim, which are very chashuv. Avol yados to letzorech achila ninu b'machshava nasa b'machshava salka. But the very nature of yados, which are just there to aid in the eating, so just like the yados are created in your mind, they're also undone by your mind. And maybe by yados, it's good enough just to have a change of thought. Vatznan, but that's not true either, because we have a Mishnah that tells us, kol yados ha'ochlen, any yados of food, shebasasan begoren, that you are boses in the threshing floor. What does boses mean? The Gemara is going to discuss. There are two possibilities what boses will mean. Either boses means you untie it, it's a bundle that you untie, or boses means you crush it. We're going to see soon which one makes sense for us. The Mishnah says, all yados ha'ochlin that are basasan in the threshing floor, tahoros, become tahar. So now, they were yados before, and they were tameh before. All you did was you were boses. Now, if you think about it for a second, if you just untied the bundle, is that a maisa that actually changes it in any way? It doesn't change the stalks themselves, though. It doesn't change the yados of each stalk. However, if you crush the actual yados themselves, then you actually did a strong maisa on them. So says the Gemara. Bishlam leman yam basan hitir agudan shapi. I understand very well if you're going to tell me basasan means what? What does hitir agudan mean? You know that term? What? You untie it. So then it makes a lot of sense. Because if you hold like that opinion, you could say that that's what the Rabbanan hold. That even though you did something very minor, it's like a machshava, it's just like a machshava, that's enough to take away the status of yados. And that's what the Rabbanan paskin like. That the Rabbanan hold, just changing my mind, thinking I want to use it as schach, is enough to take away the status of yados. But if you hold basasan means that what did I do? That I crushed it, Michael Meimar, then where do you ever see that a machshava is going to be enough? All you see in that Mishnah is crushing it, doing a maisa is enough to take away Tumah status. But machshava you never find is good enough. Says the Gemara Hachanami, Shabbasan Mamish. Maybe that's what we're talking about in our Schach case also. That you actually did crush it. Maybe the case where you picked the schach for achila, you picked the grain for achila, and then you changed your mind to use it for schach. We're not just talking about when you changed your mind. You're right, changing your mind wouldn't change its status. You know what you did? What did you do? You crushed it. You actually showed that you're clearly not using it for achila anymore. You crushed it. Wait a second, if you crushed it, then for sure, what should be the din? What should be the din if you crushed it? Should it still be mekabeltum or not mekabeltum anymore? It should not be mekabel tumah anymore because you did a maisa, you crushed it, right? But we had a machlokas whether it's mekabel tumah or not. So I asked the Gemara, we just made the Rabbanan's opinion really great. Rabbanan are the ones that said it's not mekabel tumah anymore. That's fantastic. But you know what we did? We now caused a problem for Acherim, for the people who argue on the Rabbanan. Ihachi maitamei da Acherim. If we're talking about that they mamish crushed it, then what's the reason for Acherim? Answers the Gemara, da omer k'Rabbi Yossi. Acherim hold like Rabbi Yossi. The Tanan Rabbi Yossi Metame. Rabbi Yossi holds even after crushing it, it still doesn't lose its status as Yados. It's still Tame. So says the Gemara, wait a second. Hai Mai, how can you make this comparison? Bishlam Mahasam Tame de Rabbi Yossi, Chazya Lich de Rabbi Shimon Ben Lakish. According to Rabbi, I understand Rabbi Yossi in context. When he talks about crushing grains, he says it's still Mekabel Tumah because the Yados are still useful on crushed grains. Why are the yados still useful in crushed grains? Because so long as the kernel is not removed from the rest of the grain, it makes it easier for the reason that Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish explained. Damar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, hol v'ru'uyos lahavkin ba'atar, since it makes it easier to turn over with a pitchfork. You ever see a pitchfork? What does a pitchfork look like? No, you never saw the devil, the little red guy with the horns? What's he holding? He's holding a pitchfork. It's just got two or three prongs, right? So if you try to pick up very small kernels with a pitchfork, what's going to happen? It will fall right through. But if it's connected to a larger grain, you'll be able to pick it up fairly easily with the pitchfork. So even if you've crushed it already, you've stamped all over it, the yados are still valuable. So that makes sense, that even after crushing normally, even after crushing, the yados are useful to you if you're still going to use it as regular grain and you're going to use a pitchfork on it. Elahacha, but in our case of sukkah, do the yados play any role? L'may chazia, what are they roi for? So says the Gemara, chazia l'chisasa l'minkulu begilayu. No, it still makes it easier to put away the sukkah afterwards. When you knock down the sukkah, to pick up all the pieces, makes it much easier when you have the yados intact. So that's why, perhaps even after you crush it, the yados are still mekabel tumah. Period. Gufa, so just now we're just going to have a basic repeat of some of the things we just said. Kol yados ha'ochlin, any yados of food, shebasasan begoren, taharos, that you crush on the threshing floor are tahar. Rabbi Yossi metame, but Rabbi Yossi says even after you crush it, what's the din? Still tame. My basasan, what does basasan mean? Rabbi Yochanan Amar basasan mamish. Rabbi Yochanan says it means you literally crush it. Rabbi Lazar Amar hitir agdan. Rabbi Lazar says no, it just means that you untied it. So again, same conversation. If you say that it just means you untied it, I understand very well. That's why Rabbi Yossi says it's still mekabel tumah because you didn't do anything to it. All you did is untied it. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it says that you actually what crushed it. Why would Rabbi Yossi still say it's tamei? What's the answer going to be? Why would it still be tame if you've actually crushed it already? Of what value is it? picking it up with the pitchfork. Since you could pick it up easily with a pitchfork. Main point numbers 1 and 2. Number 1. Kalim can become susceptible to Tumah with Machshava, but only lose that susceptibility with Shinui Maisa. Again, Kalim can become susceptible to Tumah with thought alone, with just Machshava. They can become susceptible to Tumah with just Machshava. Remember what the example was of that? How does a Machshava make a Kli susceptible to Tumah? S-U-S-C.
No,
what was the example? What was the example, though? I was making a chair at the point where I just had a stool. What did I do? I have a machshava that stool is good enough. I'm not going to finish making a chair. That's a machshava. That's enough to make it susceptible to tumah. But once it is susceptible, it doesn't lose that susceptibility until you have a shinoi maisa, until you have an actual significant action. Shinoi maisa. And that's the concept at the very top of the page. Yordan de tum machshava, enol mitmaso nel b'shinoi maisa. Very important concept in laws of Caleb.
What did we use that to prove how, we use that to ask a question, how by yados, how can you make it not tumma by just machshava?
We use that to right that by yados right. How was the machshava alone to do good enough to do anything? Main point number 2. If a person is boses, what does boses mean? Either untie or crush the yados in the goren, in the threshing floor. Tanakama says Tahar, Rabbi Yossi says Tameh. The person is boses, again, either untie or crush the grains, the yados in the threshing floor. Tanakama says Tahar, Rabbi Yossi says Tameh. That is the hard part of the daf. The rest is much, much easier. Even though we're not quite at the Mishnah yet. The last two lines are very easy. Little Agadita before the Mishnah. We earned it. Yes. Says the Gemara, Amr Blazar, Lama Nimshala Tfilasan Shal Tzadikim Ka'ater. Why are the Tfilos of a Tzadik considered like a pitchfork? Lomar Lecha, to tell you, Ma'ater Zeh, Mahapechas Hatvua Begoren Mimakom Lomakom, Af Tfilasan Shal Tzadikim, Ma'fechas Daito Shal Kodesh Baruch Hu, Midas Achzarius, Midas Rachmanas. Just like a pitchfork takes the grain in the threshing floor from one place to another, so too the Tfilos of Tzadikim turn over the mind of HaKadosh Baruch Hu from cruelty to mercy. So in that way, the tefillos of tzaddikim are like a pitchfork. They turn things over, they make everything change. Main point number 3, prayers of tzaddikim are like a pitchfork because it changes God's midas achzarias to rachmanas. Prayers of tzaddikim are like a pitchfork because they change God's midas achzarias to rachmanas. Like a pitchfork. Just look on your left shoulder. That's where the devil is usually. The right shoulder is the angel. He's not going to have one. There you go.
It's just like a
what? Because it changes God's midos achzarias to rachmanos, God's midah of cruelty to his midah of mercy. Okay, brand new Mishnah. We're all set. Brand new Mishnah. My son Yisrael could read this Mishnah to you, but he's all the way back there. He's learning sukkah this year. So says the Mishnah. I should really put him on the spot. Yisrael. See there.
Israel.
Come here. Very important.
On
the recording. His first year on Yud Torah. Okay, Yisrael, get over here. There's a Mishnah I need you to read. Mishnah Masech Sukkah. Go. Let's go. Come on this side. Come on, seriously. Let's move. Come on.
Being recorded.
Go. Loud.
Where?
Here. Mesachim ben Asarim, no?
Mesachim ben Asarim, the very Rabbi Yehuda. You can use boards for slach, that's what Rabbi Yehuda says. Rav Meir, who's a Rav Meir, says, Asar. Nasan alaik, but on it, Nasar, a board, Shahurach, that is why I brought Tefachim, four Tefachim. Kishir is Kashubad, only Shalish and Taklav, they cannot sleep under it.
Thank you. Okay, very good. Excellent. Okay. Hold the applause. Okay, so we have Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah, whether you're allowed to use boards for schach. Boards generally does not just mean little poles of schach, it means like a wide board, a wide flat board. Rabbi Yehuda says okay, Rabbi Meir says no good. If the board, then the Mishnah says, doesn't tell us who's the author of the second statement of the Mishnah, it just says, matter-of-factly, if you have a board that's four tefachim wide, the sukkah's still kosher, but you can't sleep under it. Now, who do you think is the author of that second statement of the Mishnah? Is it Rabbi Yehuda who says that boards are okay, or a Meir who says boards are not okay? So the Gemara is going to deal with that. So says the Gemara at first, Amar Rav, what is this machlok? First we deal with the first part of the Mishnah. The machlok is Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir about being mesachich with boards. So Amar Rav, machlokas, we're going to have a machlokas amoraim about what the case of the machlokas tanaim is. Okay, be clear on that. It's not hard, but a machlokas amoraim about what the case of the machlokas tanaim is. We have a machlokas tanaim, Rabbi Yehuda Meir, where Rabbi Yehuda says boards are good, Rabbi Meir says no good. Machlokas amoraim, which case they're arguing about. How big are these boards? Amar Rav, so Rav says, Machlokas bin Asar Mashesh bin Arba, the Rav Meir is like Zeristikra, Rav Yehuda less like Zeristikra. The Machlokas is a board that has four tfachim where a mayor holds of a Zeristikra. Rav Meir is, what's Zeristikra? What's Zeristikra? What? What? I'm sorry?
Speak up.
No, Zeristikra. No. Gzeres Tikra is that it's going to look like a roof, a regular house roof. So Rav Meir says it's no good because he holds that it looks like a regular house roof if you have these big boards that are four tefachim. And Rav Yehuda less like Gzeres Tikra. Rav Yehuda doesn't think, is not worried that you're going to end up using the roof of your house for a sukkah. Aval ben Asarim, Shein ben Arba'a, but when the boards are less than four tefachim, then what do you think the halacha is going to be? Devrei HaKol Kshera, everyone's going to say it's kosher. That's Rav's opinion. So the whole machlok is only when they're more than four tefachim. Less than four tefachim, nothing to discuss for sure. Good. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says no. B'she'in ben arba'a machlokas. When they are less than four tefachim, that's where you have a machlokas. That Rav Yehuda says good and Rav Meir says no good. Aval yesh ben arba'a, but if they're more than four, then what? What's everyone going to say? Devrei HaKol Psula, everyone's going to say it's no good. So I asked the Gemara, wait a second. They're arguing about when it's less than four tefachim? You mean to tell me Rav Meir would say boards that are less than four tefachim are no good? You know what we tend to call boards that are less than four tefachim? Schach, right? Isn't that just schach, boards that are less than four tefachim? Why would that be no good? Ein ben arba'a, v'afilu b'chus mishosh, even less than three? Hakana b'almanu, that's just regular schach. So says Gemara, Amar Rav Papa Hachi Kamar. Now this is what we mean to say. There are three categories of boards. One is boards that are less than three tefachim. Those are what? What's the halacha by those? For sure, kosher schach. We have boards that are between three and four tefachim. That's where Shmuel's going to say you have a machlokas tanaim. And we have boards that are more than four tefachim. That's where Shmuel's going to say everyone agrees, pasul. Yesh ben arba adivir kol psula. If it's more than four tefachim, everyone's going to say pasul according to Shmuel. Pachos mishlosha, when it's less than three tefachim, tevriyakol kshera, everyone's going to say it's kosher. My time akana bialmanin. Why? Because they're regular schach. Ki pligi, Shmuel tells you, where's there a machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Meir? Mishlosha ad arba'a, between three and four tefachim. Mar savar, kivin de lesnu shir makom lo gazrinan. One opinion says, the Rabbi Yehuda says, that since it doesn't have the space of a makom, in order for something to be considered a makom in Elcha Shabbos, it needs to be four tefachim. So since it's less than four, we're not going to make any sort of gzeiras. Umar savar kivin de nafkadu mitaris lavud gazrinan. The other one says, no, it's bigger than lavud. How much is lavud? Three tefachim. So if it's bigger than lavud, so we should already make a gzeira about it. That's Rav Meir's opinion. So that's how Shmuel understands the machlokas tanaim. Main point number four, I have a chart. I'll explain to you the chart verbally. You should be able to draw it based on my verbal explanation because I don't have a board over here. Two columns, Rav and Shmuel.
Oh, my God.
Oh, nice. Two columns, Rav and Shmuel. Three rows.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't really matter, but two columns, Rav and Shmuel, three rows.
Doors over here too.
Three rows. You label the three rows. Number one, less than three tefachim. Number two, between three and four tefachim. And number three, four or more. Four tefachim or larger.
Four plus.
Four plus. The three categories are less than three.
Oh no, I messed up the chart.
Between three and four, and four plus.
This is going to be checks or X? Or?
Yeah, it's going to be checks, X, or machlokas. Okay? Now, less than three, what does Rav hold? Check or X? Kosher schach or not kosher schach? Of course it's kosher schach. What does Shmuel hold? Also kosher schach. There's nothing to talk about. Less than three tefachim, that is schach. That's what we call schach. So that's checks across. Between three and four, what does Rav hold? The first opinion in our Gemara. Rav holds check, that it is good. Everyone would agree it's good. What does Shmuel hold? Machlokas, good. Shmuel holds that's the machlokas in our Mishnah. Four or more, what does Rav hold? Machlokas. Four or more, Rav holds is machlokas. And Shmuel would hold X, exactly. In Machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda is one that says good, Rabbi Meir says no good. Wherever you put that Machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda is one that says good, Rabbi Meir says no good. Okay, write that chart on the side of your Gemara, will come in handy. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah. Okay, keeping in mind this Machlokas, Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah. Where's that a quote from? Which Mishnah? The Mishnah we just read. It's the second half of the Mishnah. The second half of the Mishnah just makes a statement that if you have a board that's more than four tefachim, sukkah's still going to be kosher, but you can't sleep under that. So Bishlam, Shmuel, Damar, B'Shein, Ben, Arba, Machlokas. According to Shmuel, that anything less than four tefachim is subject to Machlokas, Avol Yesh, Ben, Arba, Divirakul, Psula. But according to Shmuel, that more than four tefachim is automatically wide, according to everybody. Possible. So then I understand very well, Mishamachi, Lo Yishan Tachtav. I understand very well why the Mishnah says don't sleep under it. You know why you can't sleep under it? Because it's possible, right? That's why you can't sleep under it. That makes a lot of sense. Both according to Rav Meir and according to Rav Yehuda, the way Shmuel understands it. Elul Rav, but according to Rav, the Amr B'Sheyesh Ben Arba'a Machlokas, who says that the whole Machlokas is only when it's greater than four tefachim. And what does Rav Yehuda hold when it's greater than four tefachim? That it's kosher. Avlein ben arba divrei akol ksher, when it's less than four tefachim, everyone would hold this kosher. The Rabbi Yehuda, my lo yishin tachtav. According to Rabbi Yehuda, why can't you sleep under a board that's more than four tefachim? According to Rabbi Yehuda, Rav holds what? A board that's more than four tefachim? It's kosher. What would be the problem with sleeping there? It's mamish kosher. So mi savor divrei akol hi? So Gemara says, oh, that's easy. Who said the second statement of the Mishnah was going according to everybody? Seifa, son of the Reb Meir. Rav would tell you the second statement of the Mishnah was made by Reb Meir, only Reb Meir. Is that crazy to say that an anonymous statement of Mishnah is made by Reb Meir? Stam Mishnah? Reb Meir. So of course it's perfectly normal for a regular Stam statement of the Mishnah to be made by Reb Meir. That's no problem. Period. Toshma, another Raya. Shnei Sadinin Mitzarfin. Two sheets can combine together to equal up four tefachim to pasul sukkah. Shnei Nesarim Ein Mitzarfin. You have two boards, each of them, let's say, is three tefachim, or each of them, let's say, is two and a half tefachim, and they're right next to each other. Do you say, uh-oh, now you have a five tefach board and it's puzzle? So no, that's not mitzarif. Rameir Omer Af Nesarim Kesadin. Rameir says, no, it is mitzarif. Boards are just like sheets. Now, again, trying to bring this as a raya. Bisham L'Shemol Dam R'Bashem Ben Arba Machlokas Avli Yesh Ben Arba Divya Kol Psula. I say very, very well, according to Shmuel, that once you hit the four tefachim mark, it is automatically, according to everybody, what? Pasul. My mitzarfin. You know what it means when we talk about whether it's mitzarif? mitzarfen larba. Does that equal four tvachim? When you have two boards that are each two tvachim next to each other, we want to know, is that the same as one board that is four tvachim? Makes sense to have that discussion. El Rav Damar B'sheish Ben Arba Machlokas, but according to Rav, that even when it's more than four tvachim, it's still a machlokas. And who's going to say kosher? Who's going to say kosher? Rabbi Yehuda, Avlein Ben Arba Devir Akol Ksheira, but when it's less than four tvachim, everyone's going to say it's kosher. Hechidami, what's the case exactly of these boards that are trying to combine? Ida Isbu Arba'a, if each one alone is already four tvachim, you wouldn't need them to combine with each other. They already are subject to the machlokas. Idelesbu arba, if they are less than four tvachim, then amai, what would be the problem according to Rav? Kanam bi'almaninu. Anything less than four tvachim according to Rav is perfectly regular kosher normal schach. So there would be no issue. So says Gemara li'olam di'isbu arba. It must be that we're dealing with boards that are more than four tvachim. So why does it matter if they're mitztarif or not mitztarif? Once it's four tefachim, according to Rav Meir, it's pasul anyway. According to Rav Yehuda, it's kasher anyway. What difference? What's the mitztarif about? Umay mitztarfin, mitztarfin la arba amos min atzad. What's that din? Arba amos min atzad. Dofen akuma, very good. Four tefachim of schach pasul in middle of the sukkah matters. On the side of a sukkah, you can have up until four amos of schach pasul. So what we meant when we discuss whether boards are mitzareif is, what if I have several boards that are four tefachim a piece on the side of my sukkah? Do they add up to reach the point where you say that it's now four amos of schach pasul and we're beyond dofen akuma? We can no longer say dofen akuma. Lishnachrin, another way of understanding this whole conversation. Vishlam l'Shmuel. I understand very well according to Shmuel. Damar b'shem ben arba machlokas l'liyish ben arba devir kol psula. We keep repeating the whole opinion again. According to Shmuel, who says that when it's less than four tvachim, there's a machlokas tanaim. When it's more than four tvachim, everyone will say it's a problem. My mitzarif and l'arba amos minatzad. I understand that mitzarif means for four amos. Elo l'Rav, but according to Rav, Vishlam l'Rav Meir. So then Rav Meir's opinion makes sense. My mitzarfim la'arba amos min atzad, that we must be talking about four tefach or more boards, and the issue is whether they're mitzarif to equal dalet amos on the side of the sukkah. El Rabbi Yehuda damar afilu yesh ben arba k'sheira mayein mitzarfim kanan bi'almaninu. But according to Rav's understanding of Rabbi Yehuda, what's the din when you have four tefach wide boards? According to Rav's understanding of Rabbi Yehuda, it's kosher. So what's to talk about whether they're mitzarif? So says the Gemara, I did to come Rav Meir mitztarfin, Am Rav Yehuda in mitztarfin. Yeah, but once we mentioned that Rav Meir says they are mitztarif, we use the terminology, according to Rav Yehuda, that they're not mitztarif. But the truth is, it's not about mitztarif or not mitztarif. According to Rav Yehuda, it's just regular, plain old kosher schach. So it's not even an issue of being mitztarif. We just use that terminology because we've already used it previously. Period. Tanya kavasei d'Rav, Tanya kavasei d'Shmuel. We have one brisa that's going to support Rav, one brisa that supports Shmuel. Tanya kavasei d'Rav, a brisa that supports Rav as follows. Sicha bin Sarim shel Erez, Shein ben Arba'a. What does that mean? Erez is cedar wood. It's less wide than four tefachim. So you take boards of cedar wood that are less than four tefachim wide. No, according to Rav, what should the din be? Automatically. According to Rav, what should the din be? They should automatically be kosher. Kulei Alma. According to Shmuel, what should the din be?
As long as it's less than three, then it's kosher. If it's between three and four, it's machlokas.
If it's between three and four, Rabbi Yehuda would say kosher, Rabbi Meir would say pasul, right? What does the Brisa actually say? Sikh ben Sarim Shalar Shein ben Arba. Divrei HaKol Ksheira. Everyone holds kosher. That sounds like who?
Rav.
Yesh ben arba, if it's four tvachim or more, well then, what does Rav hold? Machlokas, Rav Meir posel, Rabbi Yehuda machshir. Fine, that's a great price to support Rav. Amar Rabbi Yehuda said, Maisa b'shasa sakana. There was a story that happened once during dangerous times. Shevienu nesarim shayu ben, good, hold on to that thought. Shevienu nesarim shayu ben arba, arba'a, that they brought boards that were four tvachim wide, V'sichachnu al gabei marpeset, and we used it as our schach over our porch. V'yashavnu tachten, and we sat in them, and that was our sukkah. So don't you see that schach that's more than four tefachim wide, it is kosher, like Rav's understanding of Rabbi Yehuda, that that's how we paskin. Amru lo, they said back to him, Misham raya. You think that's a proof? Ein shas hasakon araya. Does that mean? Good, you cannot bring a proof from a time of sakana. Very similar to Ein shas el chak raya that we have in Lulav HaGazel, right? You can't bring a proof from a case of sakana. Why can't you bring a proof from a case of sakana? Maybe we'll rely on opinions that are normally rejected when we have no other options. But we don't, it doesn't mean we always accept that opinion. So that was the brice that supported Rav. Now, Tanya Kavaseh de Shmuel. We have a brice that supports Shmuel. Before we do the Tanya Kavaseh de Shmuel, main point number one. Though they permitted four tefach wide boards for schach during the Shas HaSakana, that does not prove that it's okay when it's not a Shas HaSakana. Again, though we permitted four tefach boards for schach during Shas HaSakana, that does not prove we would also permit it when it's not a Shas HaSakana. One more time? Yeah? Though they permitted four tefach wide boards for schach during Shas HaSakana, that does not mean it's mutter even when it's not Shas HaSakana. That does not prove anything about not Shas HaSakana times. That was all the brisa according to that supports Rav. Now Tanya Kavasei de Shmuel, a brisa that supports Shmuel. Sicha bin Asam Shaler Sheish bin Arba Divrei Kol Psula. If you use four tefach wide boards, everyone will hold it is pasul. That is exactly what Shmuel said. Ein bin Arba, if it's less than four tefachim wide, what did Shmuel say when it's between three and four tefachim? Machlokas. Rameir pasul Rabbi Demachshir. Umode Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir admits Shim Yeshbe Neser the Neser Kimlo Neser, that if between the boards you leave a space the size of the boards themselves, let's say you have four tefach wide boards and you leave in between each board four tefachim of space and you fill that space with regular twigs with kosher schach, Sheminiach pesel b'neim, you can put kosher schach in between them, ukshera, and that is kosher. The Gemara later on is going to say that the case is where you have a sukkah that's 8 amos. Okay, follow me here. 8 amos is how many tefachim? How many tefachim are in an amah? 6 tefachim in a classical amah. So 8 amos, how many tefachim? Higher mathematics? 8 times 6? 48. Right, so you have 48 tefachim. You have 48 tefachim of, you have 48 tefachim of sukkah to deal with. You start at each end with starting at both ends, the east side of the sukkah and the west side of the sukkah, with a four tefach board. Right? How many tefachim you have left now if you start at each end with a four tefach board? You have 40 tefachim left, right? Then four on each side with four more tefachim of regular schach. How many do you have left to play with? 32. Then four more tefachim of boards. How much do you have left to play with? 32 minus 8? 24. Then four more tefachim of schach. You have 16. Then four more tefachim of boards. 8 tefachim left to play with. And now you're at the center. 8 tefachim in the center where you fill in with schach kasher, with the regular twigs, schach kasher. So in that case, everyone's going to say it's good. Why is everyone going to say it's good? In the middle, you have 8 tefachim of, consecutively, 8 tefachim consecutively of kosher, regular, normal, kosher schach. You have on each side of those 8 tefachim of kosher schach, 20 tefachim of other stuff that might not be kosher. 20 tefachim is more than 4 amos or less than 4 amos? Less than 4 amos. Are you how much schach pasul are you allowed to have on the sides of the sukkah? Up to 4 amos. That's the case where you can have a kosher sukkah. Okay, if you follow that, great. If you didn't, you'll get it when we do it in the Gemara. What?
It's not on the side of the circle, it's in the circle.
No, that's what it means. Starting from the sides. You can have up into the forearm as long as starting from the walls. Yeah. So that's the case where that everyone agrees that would be kosher. Umod Rabbi Yehuda, back inside. Now, Umod Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda admits, Shim Nasanol and Neser Shu Rachav Arba Tfachim Ksheira Ve'ein Yeshenim Tachtav, that if you put on it a board that's 4 Tfachim wide, it's kosher, you just can't sleep under it. Vayashin Tachtav Le'yotzi Dechavasov. If you sleep under it, you're not Yotze Yerchiv. Main point number two. Main point number two. Even Rabbi Meir. No, what's the point? Come on, Yitzchak. Even Rabbi Meir would allow 4 tefach boards. No, what would Rabbi Meir hold? He would allow 4 tefach boards in what case? Just did it 30 seconds ago. I'm not going to tell you. What? Good. Distance 4 tefachim from each other. That are distanced 4 tefachim from each other. If you fill the space with, schach kasher. Again, even Rav Meir would allow 4 tefach boards distanced 4 tefachim from each other. If you fill the space with, schach kasher. How much schach kasher does that leave you with in the middle consecutively? Eight tefachim. Good. Remember that. Itmar. Almost done here. Itmar. Okay. Let's assume 4 tefach boards are bad, are possible, right? What if I turn the 4 tefach boards on the side? So it's actually only taking up, let's say, a tefach of the sukkah. Are they kosher now? Meaning, what's the problem with 4 tefach boards? Is it that you have 4 straight tefachim of one piece that's over my sukkah? Or is a 4 tefach board like metal? That it's just possible. It's like a piece of metal on my sukkah. It's totally possible. So Gemara says, Itmar. Havchan al sidain. If I turn it on the side, Rav Huna amar psula, Rav Huna says pasul, meaning it's like a piece of metal. Rav Chisav Rabbi Rav Huna amar kshera. Rav Chisav Rabbi Rav Huna say it's kosher. Why? It's not taking up 4 tefachim on my sukkah. Ikla Rav Nachman l'sura. Rav Nachman went to Sura. Ol gabe Rav Chisav Rabbi Rav Huna. Rav Chisav Rabbi Rav Huna went to visit him. Amri lei, and they said to him, Havchan al tzidein mahu. What do you hold about the flipped over boards, about the flipped on the side boards? Okay, so keep in mind who the characters are. It was Rav Huna said it was possible. Rav Chisda and Rabba Bar Rav Huna said it was kosher. Now it was Rav Chisda and Rabba Bar Rav Huna visiting Rav Nachman, who's a new guy. So Rav Chisda, the guys who said that it was kosher, went to visit a new person. Amaluhu, he said to them, Psula, I hold that it's possible against what you guys hold. Nasu kishvudin shal mateches, because I think that a board that's 4 tefachim wide becomes what? Like a piece of metal. Amaluhu Rav Huna, Lo Amri Luchu Amri Kavasi. So he said to them, didn't Rav Huna tell you to paskin like me? Because again, what did Rav Huna hold? Rav Huna was the original guy who also said pasul. So here he is talking to these two guys who disagreed with Rav Huna, who said that it was kasher. He says, look, I hold it's pasul. And didn't Rav Huna tell you that already? So he said, Amru Lei, they said back to him, meaning he's basically giving them Musar. How could you paskin against Rav Huna? Rav Huna told you what the halacha is. Didn't he tell you should pass like me that it's possible? Why are you guys running around telling everyone it's kosher? So Amrulay, they said back to him, maybe if you would have explained yourself, we would have accepted what you had to say. Did you ever give us an explanation that we didn't accept? You don't just go tell us what it is. Give us a reason. Give us logic. So Amrulahu, he said back to them, what, have I been withholding anything that you've asked for? Maybe if you would have asked for an explanation, I would have given you an explanation. Most times people ask a shayla, they want to know, can I do it, Rabbi? Can I not do it? So I told you, you cannot do it. If you would have asked for an explanation, I would have been glad to give you one. End of conversation. There's got to be something to learn from that. I'm just not sure what. Lema Misayele, let's bring a raya. Eina machsachas kdei Rosh Ubruv Shulchano. If you have a sukkah that cannot hold Rosh Ubruv Shulchano, means how small is the sukkah? Less than 7 tefachim. Osh nifritz up pirtza kdei she's dakar bagadim bas rosh. Or it has an opening that a goat could fit underneath the wall, meaning it's the wall doesn't reach down to the ground. It's broken to the point that a goat could fit right underneath. That's an important concept. Kadesh is daker bagadim bas rosh. Osha nasan. And here's the point that we want. Osha nasan ala neser shu rachav arba tefachim. Or you put what on top of it? A four tefach board. That's the key for us. Even though the board only covers three tefachim of the sukkah, so it's possible. How can you have a four tefach board that only covers three tefachim of the sukkah? So the Gemara is going to say, Hechidami, what's the case? Isn't it a case where you flipped it on its side, and on the side it only covered three tefachim of the sukkah? And don't you see that what? That it's what? Possible? It's treated like metal? Says Gemara, lo, that's not what we're talking about. You didn't flip it on its side. You put it right at the edge of the sukkah, where you have three tefachim hanging over the sukkah and one tefach of the board hanging off the outside of the sukkah. The ayil tlosa legav, three tefachim are on the inside, va'apikcha levar, and one tefach is on the outside. Where do we have legav levar, meaning inside and outside? Shlish mi legav, shlish mi levar. Good. To have a lay, because then it becomes a situation of Pesel ayotze min asukah. Important concept. Pesel ayotze min asukah. Pesel ayotze min asukah is a sugya we're going to get to. It's hard to translate. It means the puzzled part that is attached to a kosher sukkah, which ends up becoming like part of the sukkah. But called pesel ayotze min asukah, nidon kasukah. Any pesel, any puzzled part that's connected to the sukkah, has the same din as a sukkah. So basically, that one tefach that's hanging over the outside of the sukkah, that's also kosher to sit underneath. That also is considered part of the sukkah. And that's why this board is going to be pasul, because it's considered like a full four tefach board sitting on top of the sukkah. Right? Because that one tefach hanging out over the outside is also considered part of the sukkah in some way. Main point number three, and with this we close. Machlokas, if a four tefach board becomes a cheftz of schach pasul, what do I mean by that? Becomes a cheftz of schach pasul. You got to use lumshut terminology. What do I mean? The four tefach board becomes a cheftz of schach pasul. Good. It's like a piece of metal. It's like something that's just purely inherently pasul, even if you turn it on its side, or not. And we cannot prove anything from cases of pesel yotzei min asukah. So again, machlokas and four tefach boards become a cheftz of schach pasul, or not, even if turned on their side. Meaning, machlokas, whether a four tefach board is just a problem because it's covering four tefachim of your sukkah, or it's a problem because it's inherently flawed. And we can't prove anything from the case of pesel hayotze min asukah. Yashkoch again to the Block family for sponsoring the shir, the donuts, the Ilu Nishmas, Yoshi's grandfather. Again, give me the name. Harav Moshe Yosef, Ben Rav Avram Chaim, and Yashkoch to all the Magid Hashir, myself and my son Yisrael. Okay.